The birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins."
All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Well, to put it mildly, it's been another difficult year, hasn't it? This time last year, it's amazing to think, people were just starting to be vaccinated. And we were hoping maybe COVID would be gone. Gone by the summer, and certainly by now. But yet here we are, and Omicron is sweeping through the country. And we're back to wearing masks in services and while we sing. And who knows where we'll be even in a week's time. I wonder for you how that makes you feel about the future. How you feel about this coming year, 2022. It's almost on us. But how do you feel about it? In the Hope Explored course, and I'll say a little bit more about this course a little later on in the service, the course begins by asking how you view the future and suggests four ways that you might look at the future. The first is to think that everything's just going to get better, and there are little diagrams to go with it. The first is like this. You think everything's bound to get better. You look to the future and you think, well, yes, this last year has not been great, but we'll get through this. We'll get through COVID. Technology will advance. The medical science will advance. We'll get through it. And then technology and everything else will keep improving and we'll just get better and better. Mankind is on the up. Is that you? Maybe you're like the second kind of person, which is the opposite. Everything's going to get worse. Maybe you feel like that about 2022. We don't seem to be able to shift this virus and there'll be more and more variants and things maybe will just get worse. And maybe things will get worse for mankind. You've got climate change. You've got, well, if you're talking big picture, extinction of mankind and implosion of the universe. That kind of person, you're great at parties. So you've got that everything's going to get worse mentality. Then you've got people who think, well, everything just goes round and round in circles. We've had pandemics before and mankind has got through it and we'll have them again. And yeah, history just repeats itself. You see it in politics, you see in history, you see it in a whole load of areas of life. Things just go round and round. Then you've got the kind of people who think, well, everything's just chaotic. Who knows what's going to happen? We don't know. Don't know if it's going to get better. Might get worse. Might go round and round. It's just everywhere. I wonder which is you of those four ways of thinking. Are you everything's going to get better? Everything's going to get worse? It all goes round and round? Or it's just chaos? Probably all of us fit into one of those categories. And what do you base your view on? Well, for most of it, I mean, for some of us, it's just personality, isn't it? We're a glass half full person or a glass half empty person or a glass round and round, personal, anyway, it's just personality sometimes. But actually, a lot of it's to do with our experience, isn't it? Our experience of the world, our experience over the last year, maybe our personal experience in our lives, which pushes us in one direction or the other. But throughout the centuries and around the world, whether through wars or pandemics, through national and international crises, as well as through personal trials, at this time of year, people have gathered and have sung songs and heard the same Bible readings we've heard, all of which are about a birth. The birth of Jesus 2,000 years ago. And that birth, and reading of that birth, and singing about that birth, has caused people to be filled with joy and has changed the way people have viewed the future, even though they may be going through great trials. What's so significant about this birth? And how can it change the way we view the future? Well, we're going to see two things that we've had in the Bible readings. In fact, we're going to look at one reading in particular. If you want to, you could turn back to it. It's on the center page of the orders of service. It's the reading from Matthew chapter 1. So it's page 10. And there are just two things that I'd like you to see from that passage. Now, in that passage, an angel appears to Joseph. And he says some important things about the baby who was to be born. And we're going to see two of them. And the first thing we're going to see is who this baby is. Who is this baby? Well, if you have a look, now in Bible passages, if you're not familiar with Bible passages, then in Bible passages, unlike most other books, little numbers are put in there, which are very helpful for helping one another to say to locate where you're talking about. They're called verse numbers. And if you look in that passage, if you look and find the number 23 in there, verse 23, that tells us who this child is. So verse 23 says, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." So who is this baby? God with us. This is the claim of the Bible, that Jesus, the baby who was born, was a man, a human, and God. Definitely a human. Mary is told she will give birth to a son. He was a real crying baby. But that this child is God with us. Now that is a staggering claim. In the carols that we've sung, in some carols, they try to encapsulate just how incredible this idea is. So a couple of the lines. One of them says, "Lo, within the manger lies he who built the starry skies." What an incredible thing. The one who made the heavens and the earth, the ones who made everything, was himself born as a baby. Or another line, "Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity." We're going to sing that in our last carol. It's an incredible thing. And I hope you would agree that if this is true, if Jesus, this baby, is God with us, it sets him apart in a category all on his own. I mean, no other founder of any major world religion, of the major world religions, would claim to be God. They may have claimed to be able to point you to God, to direct you to God. They may have claimed to have been had particular insight, but they didn't claim to be God apart from Jesus. Jesus is the only one. He is set apart in that sense. But also in the sense, if he is God with us, he's also set apart in terms of his knowledge, isn't he? And his authority. Because if he is God among us, you've got to listen to him, haven't you? to hear what he's got to say. And what he's got to say comes with all the full weight of God speaking. If you were to organise an event, maybe a Christmas party, and you wanted to think, well, what COVID restrictions should we put in place? And you got together a little committee of people, maybe let's say six people that you got together, to decide what you should do. Should you wear masks, open the windows, what should you do? Six of you together. And five of you are just ordinary people. But one of those people is Chris Whitty, Chief Medical Officer. Now, if you were to do that, I would imagine it would be ridiculous if anyone other than Chris Whitty were to speak first. And if anyone else tries to speak first, you go, no. We're going to listen to Chris Whitty. Chris, what have you got to say? He's the expert. He has greater knowledge than anyone else. And yet, and okay, this is hypothetical, but and yet, if you were to imagine, if God were in the room, who would you have speak first? Well, you'd have God speak first, wouldn't you? Chris Whitty pipes up and says, no, hang on, Chris. Let's hear what God has to say. Now, the claim of the Bible is that Jesus is God with us. And therefore, what he says really matters. So the question is he divine? Is he God? Well, we have to look at his life to come to a conclusion on that. And what do we see? Well, as you go through his life, if you were to read one of the Gospels in the Bible, one of the accounts of Jesus' life, what you find is this is a man who demonstrates incredible authority. People recognized it in the way he taught. People saw it in the way he dealt with sickness, that he could just touch someone or just speak and a sick person would be made well. He showed it in the way he dealt even with people who died, that there were some who died that he brought back to life. The evidence is there, but maybe you're skeptical, and I would understand that. Maybe you have serious doubts that he really was God. Well, I think there's good reason for believing that he really is God. I'd love you to take, if you're skeptical, there's a book that I'd love you to take away. This book was written for you. And we've got a stash of them. There are going to be piles of them by the door as you leave. And you are very welcome just to take one. Take one or take two if you want. Take two, give one away if you'd like to. It's called Is Christmas Unbelievable? And the author wrote it for people who would say, actually, they're really skeptical about Christianity. There are four chapters in there that answer four questions, and the questions are these. Was Jesus even a real person? Can we take the gospel seriously? How can you believe in a virgin birth? And why does it matter? If you're skeptical, grab this book. There are loads of them. Take them when you leave. So, first thing about this baby is, who is he? He is God with us. That's what the passage says. Second thing to see is why he came. Why did he come? Well, verse 21 in that passage tells us. So if you have a look back there, it's halfway through the passage. Verse 21, it says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, here we have the angel declaring, saying why Jesus is coming. Now, again, remember, if this is God with us, this is really important. God coming to earth on a mission, it's really important for us to know why he came, what his mission was. So why did he come? And the answer is clear in that verse, isn't it? He came to save his people from their sins. From sins. Now, time and again, Jesus showed that this was his priority. In fact, there was one time when he was with a vast crowd. He'd become very popular by this point. People wanted to see him and hear him, and there was a vast crowd that had gathered to hear Jesus. And yet people wanted to bring their crippled friend to Jesus to see if he could heal that crippled friend. And they brought that friend and lowered him through the roof, because that was the only way they could get him to Jesus. And with this crippled man in front of him, we would think, well, the priority here is to heal this man. But yet Jesus says, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, he did go on and heal the man's legs. So he is saying, you know, disability and this pain and this suffering this man was going through, they do matter, but not as much as his sins. Now, we need to think, well, what are sins? What are sins? Jesus tells a story at one point which explains a bit about what sins are. He tells a story in front of a group which contains two kinds of people. Really good people, self-righteous people, and really, really bad people. And Jesus knew these two groups of people were in front of him. And he tells a story of a father who has two sons. You may be able to see where this is going in terms of the two groups of people in front of him. Well, we're not going to think about both sons. We're only going to think about one of them. You see, the younger son says to his father that he wants his inheritance now. In other words, he's saying to his dad, Dad, I want your money. Give me your money now. I want my inheritance now. Now, for anybody in any age, that would be rude. If I said to my parents, I want my inheritance now, you'd be quite right in thinking that they wouldn't put up with that. It would be incredibly rude, wouldn't it? And back then, just as much as today, it would have been viewed as very, very bad by this son. Well, anyway, he demands his inheritance, and the father amazingly gives it to him, gives him the money, and he goes off, takes the money, runs away with it, and spends it all on wild living, and uses it all up. Now, Jesus is saying, look, that is what sin is. That's what sins are. Yes, it is breaking God's commandments, it's disobeying God, but it's also running away from God. It's saying to God, well, what does that son do? He says, Father, he's saying, I want what you've got, I want your money so I can spend it on me, but I don't want you. And that's what we do to God. Yes, it's breaking God's commandments, but it's also saying to God, God, we want what you can give us, but frankly, we don't want you. And the Bible says we all do this. We live in God's world. And if you were to think, well, okay, what does God give me? What's God given me? I mean, don't think that God is like an Amazon delivery. Maybe you've had a few of them recently. God's not like an Amazon deliverer where you get, well, a few things from him every now and then. No, the Bible tells us everything we have comes from God. Everything in our lives, all the good things that we've got, family, friendships, our homes, everything, our careers, everything comes from God, all of it. And yet our tendency, everyone, what we want to do is we want to say, well, we'll have the things of the world, but we'll just ignore God. We don't really want God. We'll run away from him. Maybe some here are aware of the fact that you've been running away from God. For others of us, maybe it comes as news that everything that we have comes from him. And therefore, we deserve God to reject us. That's what the son deserves in that story, isn't it? If he's taken everything that he can get from his father and said, stuff you, father, and gone off and spent it all, well, he deserves to be rejected by his father, and the Bible says that's what we deserve from God. We deserve God to reject us. But Jesus came to save his people from their sins. That was his mission. And it was a mission that would take him to his death. On the cross, when he died, he took what we deserve, which shows us a couple of things, doesn't it? It shows us the seriousness of our situation. That's what sins deserve. Without a savior, it's the judgment we will face. But it also shows us his great love for us. Jesus' great love, that he would come and die in our place for us, come and save us from our sins. He was prepared to come to earth to die for us so we could be forgiven and be brought back into relationship with God. Jesus tells us this is what we so desperately need. It's humanity's greatest need, more than getting rid of COVID. This is saying Jesus has done everything needed for us to be saved from our sins. It was his mission, his purpose. And the question is, will we come to Jesus to be saved? Notice it says he will save his people from their sins. How can we become one of his people? Well, Jesus says at one point, whoever will come to me, I will never drive away. We can be his people if we will come to him. That's what's needed. So what's stopping you, I wonder, from coming to him? Isn't it a wonderful thing that God would send his son to save us from our sins? He's done everything necessary, and it's up to us. Will we come to him, to Jesus, as Savior and Lord? Now, can you see how this would then change the way you view the future? Actually, it pushes us in none of the four directions that we thought about at the beginning. The Christian view is not, well, humanity's just going to get better and better, nor is it that humanity's just going to get worse and worse and worse and everything is going to just collapse. It's not that everything goes round and round, and it certainly isn't that everything is just chaotic. No, it's a different way of looking to the future. Because the Christian can say, I go into the future with God as my Father. I don't know what this coming year will bring. It may be a great year. It may be a year of more COVID. But whatever comes, through Jesus, if we come to him, we can know that God is our Father. And therefore, if we do that, whatever comes, we don't need to be afraid.